podcast.
Welcome to We Knows Parenting. I'm Peter McNair.
I'm Beth Newell.
And we're recording in the morning.
Yes, you got us bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I passed out at 8:30 last night in bed. I just couldn't, I couldn't stop it from happening.
I walked in here and I saw you asleep and I thought, do I wake up my wife to record a podcast?
I was like, I'll try. And then it was like, you know, when sleep is so seductive, it's like, come here.
I was jealous. And then I thought about, like, I guess I'll record it by myself. And then I remembered, so we never record during the day because we're working. And if our kids are around, it's impossible because we live in a small two-bedroom co-op. But now we're away. We're in a house.
We're in a house with my sister.
And we're recording right now, and our kids are just in the other room.
Yeah, I mean, they will probably disrupt this before the end, but that's okay.
So if you listen right when this comes out, we recorded this like a couple hours ago.
This is fresh, baby, hot off the presses. We're hearing.
Fresh content.
So I was trying to think about what to say about this week, and I, like, days have become so blurred together, it's hard for me to remember details of, like, what we did with our kids. But
who are we
what is
literally
this
metaphorically, existentially, who are we?
We had, so this week we had really rainy days for like a few days in a row, and it was just like, it was just sort of overwhelming, coupled with the news and everything. And I kept telling myself, like, on the other side of this rain is springtime. It's going to be springtime soon. Just, like, cozy up and survive this rainy thing. So we, thank God, yesterday had some real sunshine. And it was, the temperature hit above 60. And I got the kids outside.
It's a total game changer.
But I think that's also why I was so exhausted, because I went for a run and then I was inspired to copy my sister and I was doing like push-ups and stuff. And then I spent the afternoon outside with the kids while you guys went on your massive grocery store run.
It was massive.
And I was just like, I think it being outside was so exhausting in a weird way.
And exhilarating.
Yeah, it's just like sunshine.
You're like,
fresh
I can't
air.
Record a podcast. I need to sleep.
A lot of, like, the sort of spiritual podcasts and Instagram accounts I follow have been talking about how, like, grief is very exhausting on your system. And, like, we're all kind of in, like, a prolonged state of grief right now between, like, a lot of people, depending on your situation, we're all kind of, like, grieving our previous lives and, like, what we thought was going to happen in our life right now. And then some people are grieving actual people, or, you know, like, there's just like a lot going on collectively.
The world is full of emotions.
Yeah, we're all processing a lot right now. And I think it does take like a real toll on you, your energy. And it was just, I don't know.
I checked in with my cousin who lives where we actually live, who's still there. He's an air traffic controller. And so he's still working, but, you know, there's like 20 globally, there's like 14% of all flights are actually happening. And he's like, on those flights, there's like three or four people on them. So he has a bizarre existence, but he's always telling me our local grocery store, which is sort of a tight space. And there's always a lot of traffic when you go there. They're letting like three people in at a time. And so he's like, waiting in line to go to the grocery store is a massive undertaking.
It's like emotional, like I was saying last week or the week before, like, I think the kids sort of pick up on this like uncertainty in the air because
Maven's here and she has to go potty. You go ahead, Allie can help you.
I can't find.
Okay, well, why don't you go right here in this bathroom, okay, and be quiet because we don't want to hear you peeing on a podcast. Those jammies are way too big. Those jammies are 5-year-old jammies.
They're my favorite because the butt falls down constantly. Because
she's always grabbing
and
them.
She loves to wear them and just let her butt hang out. And if she's holding like a cup or a plate and she's walking, they just fall all the way to the ground.
She's always holding like one side with one hand, like an old.
Oh, there's a turkey. We got to go have
a turkey.
Oh, there's
a turkey.
Sighting.
Okay, we're gonna pause. Wow, we're back.
And we're back.
That was exciting.
There's a lot of turkeys out there, and one of them had like a very blue head.
For the record, literally, I'm sure that might have been chaotic. Beth's sister screamed, "Turkeys, there's turkeys." And we ran.
When someone says turkeys around here, we come running.
We run and look. There was a big, that was a big male. Is that the blue head?
I don't know. Well, I guess we need to do some research on turkeys.
You know what the thing that hangs below its chin is called?
I know that you say it a lot, but I don't remember.
It's a snood.
Yeah.
Remember that game?
Yes, I do.
I have a strong desire to play snood now. Anyway, you were saying?
So I was saying, like, I think the... So I don't think, like, you guys going to the grocery store, I don't think I was super anxious about it. Like, I'm not... For whatever reason, germs are not my anxiety, but... There, as you guys are walking out the door, there's always going to be a slight sense of like, is this the grocery store trip where we contract coronavirus? Like, I feel like that's what how everyone feels. So like, you guys were leaving, and there's just like low key anxiety.
Hey, we're recording. Get out.
And then
that sounded angry. I had a smile on my face, and he smiled, so it was fine. He's laughing.
Okay. So
seriously, Maven, get out.
She had to copy him.
Now
to laugh.
I made it a game.
They think it's very funny.
Now
okay.
We're in trouble.
So I think Bryn was like just like picking up on the slight anxiety of the situation. Mm-hmm. And so you guys left and he was like, Daddy and Allie. And he was doing sort of like fake, half real, half fake crying thing. And he was like, this is just like when I was just here with Daddy and Maven, except it's you. And it was like, it was very funny. But he also did that to me when I went out for a walk. He like started crying the other day. Like he's just.
Oh, so can we talk about it? So you guys were running around the house playing this, I guess, you know, tag. And he's like, oh, they're screaming. They're having the time of their lives. And you're running around. And then you turn the corner. And then they come in. They're looking around. And we go, she went that way. And then it went around again. And then you came around. And then we saw you slip out of the house. This is at night. And you're clearly, like, literally just trying to get away from them. And you go for an extended walk. And so Brittany may even come around the corner.
This is my life right now. Is everyone's always seeking me out day and night.
And we go, she went that way. And we just kept sending them in circles. We're like, that's funny because she's not here. And then we forgot about him. And Allie and I were just talking. And then he finally comes back in and he goes, like, I can't find her. And he was genuinely scared. Oops. Like you were lost in the house in some sort of Narnia situation for all time. And then I was like, oh, no, she's here. And then we saw that it was getting bad. He was sad. He goes, no, she went outside. She just played a little trick on you. And then you saw him like try to piece that together, and then just the hurt on his face, realizing that you had abandoned him.
He's so dramatic, though. Like, I don't always trust his reactions. Like, and he also, like,
as another dramatic person, I can just say the core of it is always true. It's just in a very flowery package.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Me and my sister are trying to figure out some ways to toughen him up a little bit because he's just like always pouncing on us. Like he's just a little lion. And then we finally got outside yesterday, which is good. I think he needs to like, not that we have been getting outside going on walks, but now we can finally be outside in the yard for a sustained amount of time without like constant movement.
It's so good.
It's so nice. And so he was doing this thing where he would literally, like he would stand like 20, 30 feet away from me. And then he would come sprinting directly at me and then just jump on me. So then I was trying to change the game where I was like, right when you get to me, you should dart away. Like it's a trick. And so he's doing that. But then like neighbors were walking by because it was finally so nice that everyone was walking by and they're just seeing this kid run at me and like pounce on me. and I was like, he really is like, kind of like a baby cub where I feel like he needs to pounce and like roll around, and he needs you to like wrestle him for a certain amount of time. Like he wants to be like roughed up.
Yeah, I and relate to that. I used to wrestle with my brothers very earnestly.
But it's just like exhausting when you're not expecting it. It's like the middle of your day and you're like holding a cup of coffee and then someone's like running at you.
And he's like, here's my knees in your face.
Yeah, it's like, but so I think we need to like schedule that into the day or something, or just maybe now that we get him outside.
2 o'clock wrestling.
Yeah.
My new favorite exercise is what's called anti-tag, where the person who's it is doesn't tag people. Everyone has to tag the person who's it.
And that person is you.
Is me. And so Bryn and Maven doing their best to try to tag me. And instead of running away from them, my objective is to get as close to them as I can but then jump out of the way. Sort of like a bullfighter. I'm like, olé, and I jump out of the way. And it is exhausting. I'm like, they can't catch me if I'm trying really hard, but they love it because they get so close. And I'm like, this is legitimately exercise.
Yeah. And
which I haven't gotten any of since we've been here, and I've gained 14,000 pounds.
We've all gained some pounds, a number which will not be confirmed.
We'll never know.
We don't have a scale here, thank God.
I almost brought the scale.
Thank God you didn't bring the scale.
If I go back to our house ever, I'm bringing the scale.
I have like two pairs of real jeans here, and it's like, I don't know if I'm going to put them on again. Like the last couple, like I need to make some dietary changes before I attempt those jeans again, because like last week I broke a belt loop trying to pull one pair on, and then the other ones, they just feel tight and like itchy. Like I was just like, I can't
I can't speak to the itchy.
Well, have you ever gained weight quickly in a short period of time?
Yeah, I'm exactly in the middle of that right now.
And the, you know, like the skin is stretching.
I was itchy last night. I had a terrible night's sleep. One, you know, no tea, no shade, but you were snoring all night. And two.
Well, I'm still pretty allergic to the.
No, that's fine. It's I just really earnestly said no tea, no shade. But there's plenty of
this
tea.
This is who you've become.
I didn't need. Anyway.
We're
also, my arms keep falling asleep. I don't know if it's this pillow and like the way my shoulders fall back. I wake up and my whole arms are asleep.
That sounds like a nutrient deficiency. Like,
yeah. That doesn't happen normally. I need to run. I need to go for a run.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to talk about canceling my flight. So we were supposed to take.
Do we want to hear about this? Is this a fun story?
This is a fun story.
How is
well,
this?
One, we bought last this minute plane tickets.
This is a parenting podcast.
I know, but we're going to take our kids on a spring break. And so we bought plane. We weren't going to. And then when the coronavirus first was like proving to be serious, we didn't know it was that serious. And I was like, ooh, there'll be really cheap flights right now.
And you were like, can I book these flights? And I was like, are you sure this is a good idea? Is coronavirus is ramping up? Are you prepared to lose the money on these flights?
And I said, yeah, I'll buy in cancellation insurance on them. Anyway, I got the cheapest tickets in the world. And then JetBlue canceled them, as they thought they might.
And now you spent an entire day on hold trying to get your money back.
I spent 42 minutes on hold. But the point of the story is this poor woman that I spoke to, I knew that she was having a rough day, and I called her, and I was very nice to her, and she was shocked, and she was like, I can't believe how nice you're being, and I could just hear the days of people being terrible to her. Like, I read these articles that are like, airlines are trying to not give you your money back because they're, you know, going bankrupt, so they tried to give me a credit that, like, expires in a year.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not going to take this trip. Probably I want a refund. And so these articles tell you, like, they're going to try to take your money. Like, tell them they legally can't. So I think so many people are calling. They're like, listen up, JetBlue.
Well, I've heard similar stories of people who work at grocery stores and stuff like that. They're getting kind of traumatized because so many people are being so rude to them because people are stressed out, understandably. Yes. But, like, people take it out on other people.
And I was like,
be nice to people.
This is what my dad is very good at, is being authoritative and warm. And I was just like, hi, I booked this flight. You canceled it. And I'm unable to take this trip. So I'd like a refund, please. And then she's like, huh? It's like, we cancel it or you cancel it? You could tell she was like shell-shocked.
Yeah.
I was like, well, you cancel it. Oh, God. She could find it. And she's like, and then she got it done. She's like, can I just say, you're being so patient and so kind. Thank you so much. And I'm like, I bet your job has been easier before this.
We've been weirdly primed to delays and disappointment lately. I mean, because I feel like my whole career is just like things that almost happen and then don't actually happen. That's like how the entertainment industry works.
Yeah.
But then like in the last few months, we've been trying to buy a house and like figure out renovations on that house and like just constant delays, and our seller doesn't actually want to give us the house. And it's really primed us for this current situation where it's just like, you just have to sit back and be patient, and there's nothing
out of our control.
Yeah. We can't control any of this.
And we're as prepared as we can be.
Yeah.
And we're going to be positive.
All my anxiety goes towards food.
Me too.
Think about food all day. I'm like, what are we going to make? What do we need to buy on our next trip to have the perfect food experience?
We think about it differently.
I'm always like, what's a meal that's going to be like hearty and delicious, but also sort of healthy and nutritious and last for 2 days? And like, this is just all I think about all day.
That's not all I think about, is I hate food and I don't want it to be around me because I have no control around it. I try to pretend it doesn't exist.
This is why it's hard for me to have you be the one who goes to the store and buys things.
I understand.
So glad my sister is with you, because I was trying to coach you guys and I was like, because we don't know if the things on our list are going to be there. And you know that you need to make some impulse purchases. If you're only going grocery store shopping like every 10 days, you want to bulk up and have options that will last a long time. And I was like, when you get to the snacks, go a little crazy.
I will
a little crazy.
I will say, I no longer shop with my own brain. I shop with your brain.
Good. In these times, I need you to get on board.
So, and the whole point of I got a refund on our plane tickets and then went to the grocery store and spent almost all of it on groceries.
Yeah.
So we are good for at least a couple weeks.
I know. It's like, it's hard to be calm about the cost of groceries when it's so high, but it's also like probably less money than we were spending before on eating out and stuff.
Just about every lunch you have in the city.
Right. And also like my sister lives with us now, so we are now have an extra adult in our household.
Yeah.
We're all just chomping all day long.
And she can buy groceries every fifth time.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense. I'll
tell you, so the first trip out we've made with masks on, and there's a real, you know, there's a dumb self-conscious part of you. You're like, am I going to be the only one wearing a mask? Grocery store, almost everybody had masks on. And it really, the people without masks, you could feel they were a little ashamed. which is good. That's a good kind of shame. It's a public health shame. And then we stopped at the liquor store on the way back because, you know, essential needs. And I'll tell you what, not a single person at the liquor store is wearing a mask. I'm like, that tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This next segment is called We Knows What They're Watching. We have some special guests here to discuss the Sonic the Hedgehog movie, which we purchased on iTunes this week.
Say hello, Bryn.
Okay, in Sonic the Hedgehog, there's someone named Dr. Robotnik, in a funny part, he was like, I love the way you make them!
Yeah, we have one scene in the movie we keep quoting where the actor Jim Carrey portraying...
The actor known as Jim Carrey.
Mm-hmm. Portraying Dr. Robotnik has a very funny line where he's dancing and his assistant comes up to give him some lattes.
And surprises him.
And he says, what do I look like, an imbecile? Of course I want a latte. I like the way you make them.
I love the way you make them.
Yeah, so we've been screaming that at each other all week as we make things or ask for things we want to be made for us.
So, Brian, you've been watching a lot of TV, right?
Mm-hmm. Wait, no. I haven't watched any TV today.
Well, not today, but since you've been here in this house. Mm-hmm. So you're watching more TV than normal. Like the no TV on school day rule has gone out the window, right? Mm-hmm. So tell me, what have you been watching? What's your favorite thing you've seen recently?
Let's say Peppa Pig.
Why do you like Peppa Pig?
Well, because, well, I don't really know.
Is it funny?
No.
No?
It doesn't have any funny things.
Isn't Daddy Pig funny? Sometimes it goes, Daddy's big tummy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, what else? What show do you watch that Daddy does not like it that you watch?
Well, could it be one that I don't really, that I can even watch today?
Yeah.
Or here?
Yeah, and just in general.
I don't really know. Maybe YouTube?
Yeah, I don't like YouTube. Do you know why?
Why?
Why do you think?
I don't know.
You know, actually, I don't even really know.
Okay, Maven, what shows do you like to watch? What's your favorite TV shows?
I think she doesn't know.
Yeah, she's having a little trouble answering that.
All right. Bryn, you also saw The Goonies the other night.
It was scary.
It was scary? What was scary about it?
Well, actually, it was creepy.
What's the difference between scary and creepy?
Scary is like scary, like things that aren't really what? Good happen. And what? Scares you. What?
And what's creepy like?
Like skeletons, like and eyeballs.
So creepy is more like. Ooh.
I'm the smartest. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so did you? Was it scary going to bed after you watched The Goonies?
Mhm. I think I had a nightmare.
Yeah. What was your nightmare about?
There was lava, and you fell into it, Mommy, and Maven, and Allie, and Daisy. But the only one that didn't fall in was me.
So everyone fell in the lava except for you.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like bad news. All right, Bryn, what do you think? Do you think there's such a thing as too much TV?
No.
You've never watched so much TV that you feel a little crazy?
No.
All right, what movie do you think we should watch tonight?
Let's say Sonic the Hedgehog.
All right, now I want you to... We've watched a few other movies. I'm going to ask you about them, and then you're going to give me your review. You know what that means? Mm-hmm. That means you're going to say whether it's a good movie or a bad movie and why. Okay? We saw the movie Onward. What do you think of that movie?
The best!
Why?
Because they get to see their dad.
Oh, wow. That's the best answer I've ever heard.
You don't think it's because of those legs walking around all funny?
Oh, yeah, that was so fun.
My favorite.
Those legs.
And the funniest part
dad.
Was he was dancing.
Those legs were their dad.
But he was just legs.
Just legs dancing?
I think he felt the music or just heard it.
We can't hear if you don't have ears, but you could feel it like this.
Oh, can we talk about some music that you guys have been listening to?
Yeah, there's music review time.
There's a new song that you guys like, right? It's called Hooked on a Feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the
it?
Part that you like to sing, Bryn?
I don't really.
I think your favorite part is the part that goes.
Yes, 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 it's that part.
How's it go?
Okay. Mommy, you can go like that part.
I'll do the chorus and you do the Ooga Chaka.
No.
Maven, can you do the Ooga Chaka?
I don't want to do any of them.
You getting embarrassed? Yes. Or now you're hiding behind the microphone.
But yesterday when you were out in the yard, you were singing to yourself, right?
Mm-hmm. Do you like singing?
Sometimes.
When there's no one listening?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that is?
Because... I don't really think they're going to be real songs.
Oh, you don't think they're going to be real songs, so you don't want people to hear? You think you're going to get it wrong?
Mm-hmm.
You don't like getting things wrong, do you? Like when I have you try to write words and you don't know how to spell them and I won't help you, that makes you really mad, doesn't it? You really hate that. But that's how you learn, is by trying.
Then I already know how to spell everything.
Oh, well then you don't need to ask me.
Inside the court?
Well, soon.
All right.
Not really now.
All right, let's ask Maven.
Wires? Maven's asking what's inside the microphone.
Let's say wires.
And electricity?
Yeah. There's some electricity in there.
What? In this gray part?
Yeah.
What?
All right. Well, before we let you go, anything you want all our listeners to know about your lives or your parents? What do you think of us, Bryn?
Mommy. Well, I love mommy and daddy's cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has been We Knows What They're Watching with Bryn and Maven. Say goodbye, Bryn.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Maven.
This next segment is called Listeners Want to Knows. It's where we take questions and comments from you guys.
All righty then. All righty then.
I will say, I have to say, great performance from Jim Carrey in that role. Back to his roots. Very fun.
We laughed a lot at that movie. And I mean, he's the only good part of it. And he's great.
It is one of the rare movies for kids where I think parents will actually enjoy certain moments.
Yeah. I like the way you make them. this podcast got my wife pregnant. Subject line. Good morning, Beth and Peter. I've been listening to your sweet, humorous, and real podcast since your first episode, and I've loved every minute of it. I began listening before kids, and now we're expecting our first in September. Yeehaw! I pre-ordered Beth's book to help prepare. My wife, Carly, and I read it aloud to each other and read it aloud to each other and laugh out loud. Carly especially appreciates this book. I can hear her laughing randomly while she reads it alone. We just read the section about setting boundaries. Quote, mic drop and exit the moving vehicle if necessary was an especially delightful phrase we repeat to each other often during quarantine life for a much needed laugh. She's in a demanding graduate program, physician's assistant, and your podcast and book have brought us many laughs as she juggles stress from that, her pregnancy, COVID, and an earthquake. Come on, 2020, you're a dick, and you better get your mind right soon. I remember the early We Knows episodes, which had more, shall we say, displays of aggression. I'm curious if this period in your lives was a result of the double kiddo stress. If so, did you ever use or think about using counseling to deal with the demands of being working parents while raising kids? Or did you find you were able to deal with issues and work through things yourselves? I ask because my wife is a direct person who communicates her feelings and thoughts, and she has good role models for communication. I am practicing those skills as I wasn't raised in a home where communication was a priority. Based on those early episodes, you both seem able to handle difficult conversations well. Was that a result of kids, or were you able to handle these situations before kiddos as well? We've been together for 11 years, so I think we have a solid foundation of how to work through things. I occasionally still struggle with communication, and when I do, my default mode is to shut down. I do think about how our relationship will change with a little one. Has your relationship changed, and if so, how? I know there are 30 questions in there. If you decide to use this email for episode, I know it will not be disappointed if you pick and choose.
Okay.
It's not much of a pick, but I did attach the only image we have of our little one at this point. Ultrasound from 8 weeks. Carly is 16 weeks on Friday. We call it a cricket right now, and we aren't finding out the sex. Thought I better explain the name of the attachment. Oh, it said cricket. Great. Thank you for the work you do and making my and many others' Tuesdays delightful. With gratitude, Matt and Carly.
Thank you. What a nice email. And congratulations on
there
the baby.
Is.
Oh, that little cricket.
Look at that cricket.
That's so exciting for you guys. 11 years does sound like a very solid foundation for parenting together. So I feel like you guys are probably ahead of the curve.
We had our first baby at around 11. Is that true?
11
How
years?
Long? No, I guess 8 years something.
We have not gone to counseling. We've talked about it at certain points, and we've just never made it happen for various reasons. But we do consider this podcast our counseling session 100%. In a certain way, because you, the listeners, force us to speak to one another in a somewhat respectful way. Not though sometimes we stretch that a little bit, but we're able to discuss things without like insulting each other as much as we might in the heated arguments we would have behind closed doors.
Yeah, I mean, there's some tough episodes to listen to early on, as if you noticed.
Yeah, we've gotten better, I think.
Oh, way better. But I think it is a combination of a couple of things. One, for me at least, I've had to go back and re-listen to those episodes and actually have been forced to hear what I actually have said has been helpful. But also, I think if there weren't people listening, those conversations would have shut down between you and me.
Yeah.
Instead of moving forward.
Yeah.
So I think we can both see the conflict coming sooner, because the big problem is usually something that happened before the fight, which is something I've learned.
I would say like 9 out of 10 arguments start with you doing something that I find problematic, and then where it goes wrong on my part is I criticize in a very negative tone. Sometimes I can be calmer and say, please don't do this again, or can you please agree not to do this, or blah blah blah, but not always successful depending on my mood or the state of the country. And your go-to mistake is to dig in your heels and say that was not a problem and that my feelings are not reflective of reality, and to just like, I think that's where you derail it. You're like, put your foot down, and it's just like, I would just like an ounce of owning the fact that something you did concerned me.
Yes.
So that we can move on.
It is. I mean, you're, of course, absolutely right. Because when somebody does something the way you wouldn't do it, you at your worst, and you are so much better now.
Well, yeah. Because
it's instantly very mean.
Well, sometimes we're literally in a global pandemic, and someone I live with is like going on impulsive trips to the post office or whatever. And I'm like, could you think about when you might be infecting your family with coronavirus?
So we've learned a lot.
Yeah.
Beth has learned, I think the biggest lesson is you have learned a lot about...
The biggest lesson is I have learned.
I'm giving us both a big thing and a big compliment. You've learned a lot about tone, which sounds so petty. And I have learned a lot about, before I say something, shut up and think about what's happened for the last 24 hours.
Well, your tone.
I think every couple does this.
You're so dramatic. So you're like, I'm critical of you. And then all of a sudden, granted, we've been under a lot of stress lately, but you just say like the most outlandish thing, which sometimes is like a blessing in disguise, because the insults are so outsized for the situation that I'm just like, well, I know that's not true. Like, it's just like so out of left field. Like,
but I think one, yes, this has been our therapy. I totally recommend therapy to people, even though it's something we haven't done. Because
I think especially for parents, like especially new parents, because I don't like, everyone is experiencing a lot of change. And I do think this is kind of what's happening with coronavirus, is like everyone in the household is experiencing stress in different ways. And there's a lot of new information, and it's hard not to take it out on each other. And I feel like that's what happens with new parents, is they're exhausted and stressed and trying to navigate all these new things. it's almost impossible not to lash out at one another.
Yeah. But I think the benefits of therapy and why this is our therapy is as soon as you have somebody else listening, it immediately, you put yourself in another person's shoes and you're able to hear yourself through another lens. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, well, as soon as I know you're all listening to us, I'm thinking about how I'm coming across to you, because we're all such innately as social creatures. And it forces you to self-reflect just to have a witness, I would imagine. The other part of it is, I think the time in the podcast when we were the most at each other's throats corresponded to our kids being the most difficult age and you having health issues.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot going on. But that's how everyone's life is. Everyone has a lot going on. I really am feeling for people who like have a baby and a toddler during coronavirus, or like are pregnant with a toddler during coronavirus.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. My friend from college had a baby like 4 days ago.
Yeah.
It was intense.
We had, we know someone whose wife just had a baby, and they were talking about not, like, there's some people who are women who are delivering alone because they're not letting partners into the hospital.
Yeah.
Which is very scary, and they're watching on like an iPad. I think they might have changed that in New York. There was like a, I don't know, but very scary.
Yeah.
But we're all gonna get through this.
The last thing I'll say with this email, it really feels like Matt is the you and Carly is the me.
Yeah, when he was saying he tends to want to shut down communication, I was like, yeah, that's like. That's my flight response.
Beth.
Just like.
And this is another thing we've both gotten better at. Our old fights, you would always say the most incendiary thing that you were going to say and then leave.
And you do that too, though.
Well, yeah.
Everyone does that.
I know, but nobody leaves like you do.
Well, if I'm just like, this is what I'm talking about, is like when you, when I'm trying to discuss like an issue like, hey, let's not make, you know, extra trips to stores. We need to plan ahead and try to do as few trips as possible. And then suddenly you try to switch the conversation to be about something else, insult my character, and like you're just attacking me. It's like, can we go, if we're not going to be on the topic of conversation that started this discussion, I'm not going to continue this.
See, the way you just presented it, the way you're like, when I'm like, hey, can we please not go to the store? I'm like, oh, that's not how that was said.
Okay, but still, your instinct is to like try to come up with things I've done wrong and not discuss the issue at hand. And then it's like not a productive conversation if we're all like just listing mistakes.
My point was to talk about some things we have adjusted over time. And boy, you don't do the storm away thing anymore because you know I'm going to cut.
But what my point was, sometimes leaving an argument is a healthy decision.
And this is something
if it's
learned.
Not a productive discussion, you should not just keep screaming at each other.
Right. So I think the two big things we both have learned is, one, I have learned to not chase after you. And to just chill out and go for a leave myself and to like go for a walk. And you have learned to leave on a softer note. And I think that has done wonders.
Yeah. Softer note. Yeah. When my husband says, this is what's wrong with you.
I'm more diplomatic.
That's my cue to exit.
Yeah. When I get really, really mad, it's all those things, those complaints I've had in my head that I've thought about that I couldn't say to you, and then they come out in like the most intense distilled way in a context that's not applicable to.
Right. You're like, I like the way you make them.
That's what I, next time we're in a big fight, I'm just like, oh, I like the way you, I love you. One more email. This comes to us from Caitlin. Giant baby pics, birth stories, questions, and praise. I like most of those things. Hey, Beth and Peter. To say I love your pod is an understatement. Your podcast was a shining beacon during the horrendous first 6 months of my son's life. I had PTSD and postpartum depression with a healthy dose of anxiety and rage. Thank you so very much for helping me feel less alone as I made my way to the other side of traumatic birth and postpartum period. I have given your book, Beth, to every woman I know who is pregnant, and I recommend your pod to everyone.
Aww.
First up, I'll share my birth story for Beth. Peter, I guess you can read too. This is long, so feel free to skip it. We won't.
I love a good birth story.
Lachlan is my first baby, born in June 2019. I am a bigger woman, so my first doctor told me I would get gestational diabetes and I would have to have a C-section. I found a new doctor, thankfully, and she was much more supportive. I gained a total of 17 pounds with my pregnancy and was really healthy throughout, no complications. Baby measured normal, all good. I really wanted to prove the crap first doctor wrong and have a natural, unmedicated birth. Luckily, I had my babe in an incredibly woman-positive hospital with low intervention and the lowest C-section rate in the state, so I felt pretty confident. My waters broke on their own. Full gush. I looked like my husband. I said, either my water broke or I just peed my pants. And honestly, I'm not sure which. Friday, June 7th at 2:30 p.m. Called the hospital, told them the situation, that I was only having very mild contractions. They told me to take my time coming in. So my husband and I watched a movie, took showers, and generally took our time. Checked in at the hospital at 6:30 p.m. They confirmed that my water did indeed break and that I was ushered up to the very nice birthing suite. Didn't make much progress on my own by 6:30 a.m., so we added
Mistoprostol.
That got things kick-started, and contractions started coming fast and strong. Unfortunately, at 2 p.m., almost 24 hours after my water broke, I stalled. I talked things through with my nurse midwife. She was incredible, as were all the staff. And we finally decided to do Pitocin. I sobbed because I really didn't want to. Because, as you know, Beth, you are really supposed to deliver within 24 hours after the water breaks to avoid infection. Pitocin made my contractions never-ending and almost unbearable. At 2 a.m., almost 36 hours of labor, I begged for that epidural. Unfortunately, it kept failing, and I ended up getting three different epidurals.
Oh, no.
I started pushing at 4 a.m., and 3.5 hours later, still no baby! Baby was in distress. I had a raging fever, and midwives were so supportive. But ultimately, we decided that the 41-hour mark, it was time to get this baby out. We went into the operating room. Only doctor in the whole process was the OB who performed the surgery. And due to all the epidurals that just didn't quite work, they had a really hard time getting me numb. So I felt everything.
Oh, my God.
It was horrific. But after a certain point, I don't remember much other than a giant baby flying by. There's really well-placed all caps sections, if you couldn't tell. I'm trying to perform it. My husband did skin to skin. And once I stepped, I was stapled back together. They helped him get latched in recovery. No wonder we could not get this baby out. 22.5 inches and 10 pounds, 13 ounces.
Damn.
He was a whopper. We stayed in the hospital for 5 days because we were both so sick, but we made it out okay. Lachlan was really hard baby those first 6 months. On top of the postpartum depression, PPD, AR, anxiety, rage, it was a whole lot. But now at almost 10 months, this sweet babe is less of a potato and more of a joy every day. He is still insanely tall, 32 inches at 9 months, always at least 99th percentile for height. Whew, that is the story. Quick question. How are you dealing with different levels of concern during COVID-19? My husband is much less concerned and wants to socialize and spend time with a close group of friends. This is stressing me out. Help. I've also attached so many good pics, including my giant pregnant self at 36 weeks when we moved to San Francisco, to San Diego, crazy kids, right after the baby was born, in hospital with daddy, and then there's a bunch of things I won't describe. But there's a lot to unpack here. Thank you for the from the bottom of my heart and showing a functional marriage with children, even when it's not perfect. What do you mean not perfect? Just kidding. Love, love, love. Caitlin. But everyone calls me Motorboat. Well, really buried the lead there,
what
Motorboat.
What a great nickname. Okay, first of all, Caitlin, congratulations on the baby. Great work. It sounds like you really did your best through what was a pretty horrible labor, but you got through it.
Look at that adorable baby. With dad.
He's so sweet. He has a little faux hawk. I love it. So cute. That kind of labor and the PPD and everything, I think, is much more common than a lot of people realize, because we're like, hey, new moms, just smile for the cameras. We don't want to hear about your vagina and everything.
We don't want to hear that you got ripped open over 2 days.
Yeah. Ugh. Anyway, her question was, how do you deal with differing levels of concern with coronavirus?
We've already touched on
obviously
it.
Obviously, we haven't dealt with it perfectly.
I'm not trying to hang out with people. I just went to the store too frequently early on.
Yeah.
But we're all on the same page now.
But I do think, like, that I have heard, a number of stories that is, like, people who are like, well, I just want to have, like, one last drink with friends, or I just want to, like, I'm just going to hang out with this little group of friends, or just go golfing. And then it's like, suddenly all those dudes are infected and infecting their families. Like, it's not like, this is not an unreal threat. Like,
Also, though, I'd be curious, because this email was written, you know, at least like a week ago, and the entire world has changed.
Yeah, that's the thing about this coronavirus news, is like, the news is changing so rapidly. And I do think, depending on how often people consume news or what part of the country they're in, I think it is setting it a little slower. So I think it is important, I think, to be like a little bit patient with people and not like scream at them when they don't have the exact same information as you day to day.
It also is a different thing to like go to a concert or go to, you know, like these, like a church.
Yeah. I think also
where you're going to be around 100 people. That's much more dangerous for everybody than if you're going to go to your friend's house and have a drink. I mean, yeah. I say don't do either, but
I also think there's a little bit of gray area. Like we're quarantining with my sister. So we have an extra person with us, and she's just become part of our family unit. And I think there are people, if you're like a single mom or your next door neighbors, you're like a close, tight knit group with them, I don't think there's necessarily a ton of harm in like combining into a family unit with somebody if it's like a very small group of people and everyone is truly quarantining.
And you're able to support each other.
Yeah. Because I do think like what I think gets lost in this discussion a little bit is that human contact is very necessary to mental health. Like people do, like if I was a single mom and I was just like alone at home with kids through all this, and then I had to do like a stressful grocery store trip with like, where are my kids? I take them into the grocery store, I leave them in the car. Like some people are going to need support systems through this.
Yeah.
I think there is certain gray areas with stuff like that. And like, you know, some of us are working more than others. Some of us are essential workers and have to leave the house. It's all, there's just not going to be a one size fits all solution.
Yeah.
But in terms of her question about how do you navigate that, I think, I think like
you say, listen up, dummy.
Hey, idiot. This is something, you know, I think we're all working on, and I think like there is, I don't know. This is a hard one, because I want to say like this. I think this is why I was struggling to navigate this. Is like in other like situations, you could try to draw like clear boundaries with people and be like, if you do this, I'll do this. But it's hard if you live with someone and they're your lifeline through all this. You can't be like, I'm not gonna allow you into the house. Like you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You need like, it's very difficult.
It's like, and everyone is persuaded differently. But I imagine, you know, if it was me, you know, I can be quick to get defensive and like you said, and immediately go like, well, here's why it's not a problem.
Yeah.
If I'm confronted with something.
Yeah. I think it is like trying to stay as calm as possible. And this is like something I struggle with Bryn too, when he's like punching and stuff, is like, be like, when you do this, it makes me feel this way. Even though you're like raging on the inside, you have to like calmly be like, this makes me feel scared for our safety. Here are the factual reasons why.
Yeah.
Or, I would imagine this is not actually an issue for her anymore because, like you said, the news has progressed pretty quickly. But yeah.
Or it's storytelling. Paint a picture. I'm worried about the scenario in which I get sick and one of us has to go to the hospital and we have a baby here and there's no one to take care of this baby.
Which is a very real concern I think a lot of people are having.
Yeah. I mean, that's some, you started talking about that. Like the three of us, like what happens? Was Brendan have to start making his own meals if we're here sick? And I was like, oh, that just got real.
Well, and that's why we're trying to send like only one or two of us to the grocery store. And then hopefully we, ideally.
We get it at staggered times.
Well, the plan right now kind of actually is that like my sister, we make her the most likely to get sick and she's the easiest one for the rest of us to isolate from.
She knew what she was getting into.
She did. It makes me sound very selfish, but I have decided that I have the weakest immune system of anyone here, given my health problems over the last few years and like all the trials that birthing children has put my body through.
That's fair.
Yeah, I'm not a strong person. But like we have decided like if anyone's showing signs of sickness, we'll isolate them in my sister's room here, which has its own bathroom. I've heard my sister listened to, I think it was like The Daily or something on this woman whose husband got sick and they did sort of a similar thing where they were like keeping him quarantined. And then like they, unfortunately they had to share a bathroom with him. So every time he went in there, they had to like wipe down all the surfaces and disinfect so they could take a shower. So hopefully it doesn't come to that and we don't get sick, but.
Well, we're going to be prepared because we're being careful and we're staying positive.
And we're wearing masks. And we stretched
dances.
Our groceries out so long. I'm so proud. We did 10 days without a grocery store trip. And yesterday our fridge was like almost completely bare.
And now it is completely full.
Yeah. But we managed to eke out like a couple of last meals that were like surprisingly decent. Like we really did some good planning.
Well, that's going to do it. This has been another episode of We Know's Parenting. If you would like to send us an email, tell us how you're doing. How are you managing the children in your lives and yourselves in your life?
Yeah, how's working with kids or not working with kids? And
or doing your job.
Yeah, how's doing your job?
Or do you have a job? Because a lot of people don't right now. You can email us at weknowspod@gmail.com or you can leave us a voicemail at a number that Beth is about to say.
It is 347-384-7396.
Find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at WeKnowsPod. And please write us a review. Leave us a 5-star rating.
Please.
And we will see you next time because next week, you know what next week is, Beth?
What?
Episode 100.
Wow. And buy my book for your pregnant friends.
Yes.
There's no manual. Honest and gory wisdom about having a baby.
And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.